This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think success in football is always about winning football matches, first and foremost. Long term, I think the club would like to be back on the European level. I don't think it's the right time now to put any date or specific date on that. But for me, more importantly, it's about focusing on the short term, which is Brighton at the weekend. We need to start winning football matches again and moving up the table. So that's the short term goal. And in terms of Liverpool, again, I don't think this press conference should be about any other club but Aston Villa. I think we have to show respect to our supporters. I think everyone knows around the world what Liverpool means to me, but the focus and my commitment is very much on Aston Villa. And I said last week in a one-to-one that I'm all in, and I can promise our supporters that's the case.
Welcome to the Mayo Mense podcast. It's something for the weekend time. We are back after another international break. Joining me to discuss the Brighton game and the new dawn of Gerard, Mr. Chris Bird. Welcome back.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, not too bad. I've been away for the last week, just visiting family. So not getting knee-deep in Gerard. I thought I'd save that until we are back from the international break. If you are unfamiliar with the show, this is our little catch-up for the weekend. We've done a patrons extra podcast on our first reactions to Steven Gerrard taking over and the situation that surrounded that. But we'll talk properly about him on the main show, but we'll certainly talk about his announcement and the context of that to the Brighton game in this one. But normally this is just the catch-up for the weekend, as the title suggests, and we wax lyrical in the main show. So we like to bring ourselves up to speed with a Villa Minute. So, who's sponsoring this week? It's Swatch. They've sent red watches, though. I said, can you make them Steven Gerrard themed if you want to sponsor the show? And they sent two red watches for us. So, I'm going to have to send them back. I don't know why they sent them red. Is it something to do with Steven Gerrard? I don't know. Anyway, 3, 2, 1, let's go.
When you're trying to prevent 5 consecutive losses, it's best not to concede a goal in the first 2 minutes. Adam Armstrong's goal for Southampton on Bonfire Night sealed the 5-game losing stain that was enough for Christian Perslow to trigger the ejector seat. Not even Leon Bailey finally making his first start could save Smith. 6 weeks after Villa beat United at Old Trafford for the first time in 12 years, bizarrely, Dean Smith, with Craig Shakespeare, are fired off in a cannon to Norwich, while Liverpool's next manager takes the detour,
aka Stepping Stone,
from Rangers to become Villa's new head coach. Gary McAllister returns to Villa Park to assist Steven Gerrard alongside hotly tipped coach Michael Beale. Gerrard brings his entire backroom team from Ibrox, while Nanny McPhee, Aaron Danks and Neil Cutler all stay at the club. Meanwhile, during the international break, Matty Cash made his much-awaited debut for Poland, John McGinn helped steer Scotland to the World Cup playoffs, Emi Martinez and Toro Mings helped their countries qualify for Qatar, with Villa's captain netting his first international goal in England's 10-0 San Marino demolition job. With international breaks now over until March, it's time to get on with Villa's new dawn under Steven Gerrard, who says he's all in.
Ooh. Are you all in?
Ask me at 2 o'clock on Saturday. We'll see with the team sheet.
There's kind of a mixed reaction to this Gerrard appointment, which is understandable because his DNA is so intrinsic with Liverpool. That's half the reason why he probably had to go north of the border to get a managerial job. I think it was a wise move anyway.
And he did well when he was there.
You can go to a championship club like Frank Lampard did, but that's a bit of a baptism of fire. I think Rangers is an easy wicket in terms of, it's a two-horse race. You also get that experience of that big derby, and you also get within quick time experience of European football as well as a manager. So... in that respect, all good. But in terms of levels, we shall see. I mean, some people point to the fact that he only won a title. He didn't pick up any of the cups or anything, which could say there's a point there. But, he's learning his craft. And that's, I think, how he'll look back at those 3 years. It's foundations, isn't it? It doesn't matter about silverware or whatever. He did the crowning thing, which was break Celtic's 10,
yeah.
potential 10 consecutive titles. So job done in that respect.
And also the disparity of where they were when he took over. They were a mess still from all the previous financial problems to where they are now. They're in a much firmer footing. They're in a good position for whoever comes in.
Well, they did an announcement at Villa Park. They did the press conference at Villa Park. I think it was in the director's suites instead of the Bodymore job, where it was half press conference, half announcement, unveiling, shall we say. The usual stuff, big club, blah blah blah. Interestingly said there's a motto at the club, be prepared. I thought they got rid of that one.
Yeah, but bad to have a rebrand again.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Yeah, it was Tom Fox got rid of that, I think, if my memory serves me right, when we got relegated.
Clearly showed we weren't.
Yeah, when it was obvious that it was a lie. Like, blatantly obvious. It was obvious before, but now it was blatantly obvious.
5 years to get rid of it then, basically.
Favourite bits, of this press conference, my favourite bit was probably Gerrard kind of making light of the Christian Perslow link. Villa CEO was obviously, I think he was like general manager running Liverpool back in the day when Gerrard was playing. He said, people on the outside maybe think me and Christian are best mates and that we go to the cinema together, but that's not the case. I've known Christian for the past decade and we've bumped into each other on a few occasions. I expect nothing from Christian than when I played, real honesty, the truth, constructive criticism.
And a nice paycheck.
Well, that comes with the territory nowadays. I mean, the general vibe I get from Gerrard that it's no messing, down to business. There's no song and dance. It's kind of, he always talked about information, getting the information through to players. I don't think he's going to be complicated, is he? I think it's kind of clear cut. And just from his approach, it seems like he's going to be ass kicking a few of these players.
Yeah, there'll be an intensity about him. And sort of, I think you mentioned before we recorded about, like a sort of a steeliness that obviously he always had it as a player, and he'll probably instill into his teams as a manager as well.
Yeah, and I think a less of a warm approach than maybe Smith, that like if you... I think he's, reading between the lines of what he kind of says is, he'll give it his all for you and he'll give you the best conditions possible. And he expects that in return, the similar attitude in return, or else, see you later.
Yeah. Yeah, he said there's no excuses in this building, didn't he? That was one of the first things he said.
Yeah, it's a cliche to say fresh slate, new manager. I mean, that comes, that's what happens every time. But interestingly, when he was asked about the captaincy, it was almost like, well, Mings and McGinn are kind of on a trial period. Normally, well, not normally, but you could expect him to say, well, to the end of the year, it's the same captaincy. but it actually suggested it's a trial period, so everybody's on their toes from the off.
Good, that's what it has to be for now.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, the question mark, like the, you know, Leon Bailey's Buendia in terms of attitude and in terms of what is Gerrard's tolerance for, let's say, the glitter players that potentially bring you attacking edge, but if he'll probably want more of an all-round effort, won't he, in terms of defending as a team?
Yes, and certainly with some of the tactical pieces that have done the rounds about Rangers, where they hunt in packs and their press is really like very much from the front and everybody does it as a team. So rather than Villa, you know, Villa's back four getting slated, I think Gerrard will really implement this as a unit. You know, all 10 outfield players will have to defend as a unit as opposed to just relying on Mings and Konsa to head everything out.
I think Buendia does a reasonably good pressing job anyway in midfield. Bailey, question marks on the evidence so far in terms of his effectiveness. Yeah. I mean, he's the kind of player anyway. I would, for example, if we're defending set pieces, I would have him standing at the halfway line.
Get him as far away from it as possible.
So it'd be interesting to see from the first corner we have to defend if Gerrard's everybody back kind of philosophy or if there is an outball for a change.
Yeah, and just their general, you know, he won't have, you know, implemented too many patterns of play or anything yet, but you'd have thought he'll say, well, this is the shape we're playing. This is the loose way I want us to play. He'll have had those meetings this week. I think he'd have only had sort of 2 days with the player, so I'd imagine the majority of his work will have been just about defensive shape. And
because I think, you know, obviously Villa have played a few formations under Smith, and so it's not really an issue of them adapting to anything in particular. It's just that I think because there'd been so much switching and changing that players had kind of lost their fundamental role and, you know, where everything is normally second nature, that kind of went out the window. So as soon as players started playing in that three centre-back routine, what is instinct suddenly became something they had to think about. And that's where it started to go wrong, with players being pulled out of position. And that telepathic, well, I say telepathic, but it was a reasonably decent centre-back pairing. Well,
it's like instinctive, isn't it? Felt like, you know, a lot of sort of square pegs in round holes. And we'd mentioned about people being overcoached and almost too much information.
Yeah, and having to think about what the next play was when, you know, from a dead ball situation. So we'll, I think it'll be a bit more simpler. And as Dan Rogers likes to say, football is a simple game.
Yeah.
From Perslow's point of view, in the press conference, he did mention the five-year plan. And obviously we're 3 years into that plan. And I think it's fair enough where we are at the moment, considered where we started. So Smith could argue, well, in terms of a five-year plan, we're kind of all right as the crow flies.
The wider narrative, as they say.
I think this is the action. I mean, I still think it's premature, but was it a case of nipping it in the bud?
I think so.
Because, I mean, we've said on previous shows, while there are a lot of mitigating circumstances, from poor pre-season preparation to injuries to key players coming in fairly late on, the fact is we didn't set ourselves out to be hard to beat while we waited for these players to get back. I think the move to three at the back, the three centre-backs, was certainly a shift to player formation that compensated for us not having, let's say, our full arsenal of attacking players. And it was it seemed to be working against, likes of Chelsea. And that was in its embryonic stage, where you actually saw we were creating chances and having a bit of a control of the ball further up the pitch. And then against United, it worked. And then it just, as we've said before, I think teams worked out how to hurt us playing that formation and did so.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see. I think Gerrard will find one formation and pretty much, you know, stick to it. So it's a well-drilled team.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I mean, nobody knows, you know, what his team sheet's going to be. You think there'll be certain things will probably be, could be predictable in terms of, I think, the defence and the goalkeeper, but further forward, no one's got a clue. So it's going to be really interesting in terms of A, who's available, and then B, who he chooses to select.
And there it is. is that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
In terms of the injuries from what we got from the press conference, I think it's just Sanson and Luiz that definitely won't be figuring in the matchday squad. So the fact that Ings is back, that's definitely a plus. I think we could have done with him the last few games.
Yeah. And it'd be interesting, of course, to see if he tries to play Watkins as part of a three or if he just plays Ings on his own or Watkins on his own. Who knows?
I think that's the big decision. I think that's what defines it, because it's because you've got two of your best players there, certainly by price tag. And the decision is, are you trying to get them both into the team or do they actually naturally fit into the best team? That is the main question.
That's a challenge, isn't it?
Because you can't have, you know, your best players not playing. Normally, big teams have an embarrassment of riches, so they've pretty good. All their matchday squad is their best players. Villa aren't actually at that stage yet. So it's not as if that matchday squad is all of the level of Ings and Watkins. That's just not the case. So they do kind of, at the moment anyway, stand out as potentially two of our top five players, you could probably say. So that's probably the first decision Gerrard has to make in terms of, unless, you know, if he's going to play as he did again, as he did with Rangers, then which was kind of a 4-3-3, was it not?
Yeah, it would flip between a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. He might even go with that, where he plays two sort of deeper line midfielders, and he might unleash someone like a McGinn and play him in the middle of a front three off Ings. So you'd play sort of, Luiz isn't fit, but you could, for example, play Ramsey or someone next to an Akamba slightly deeper and then unleash McGinn in sort of like a number 10, Watkins out wide and a Buendia off Danny Ings, which might be a slightly more balanced way of doing it.
I think one thing I think we will find out is if Ramsey is the real deal. Because I think if he is, because Gerrard will give him a bit more courage of his convictions, then he might... you might see him, have a proper run, but actually with, let's say, a license and an encouragement to be a bit more potent and impact the game more. Rather, I mean, to me, he just felt like he was, there was a bit of sentimentality about it.
Yes.
But in this case, this will be like, right, you're good enough, so go for it. Don't be shying away from, taking a shot. Don't be passing on responsibility, when you're around the 18-yard box. It's, take it on. Because Gerrard, some of the amount of goal long-range attempts, and Ramsey's, proven he's got a shot on him, and he's got the technique, and it's just, as I said, courage of his convictions. And you might see a player jump up a few levels, because if Gerrard tells him he's good, he's going to believe that.
I think so. And that would apply to all of the midfield kind of unit, collectively. We don't know. Someone like McGinn might get a bit of a kick up the arse, because his form for Scotland's been brilliant. His form for Villa's been, should we say, patchy.
Yeah.
Even young guys like Chuck Mweka, he might get a little bit of another another gear to go into perhaps in his development. Someone like Sansom, if and when he ever gets fit, you never know, he might come to the fore. I think someone like Luiz will get a real boost, because I think Luiz, he has the look of someone who'll actually respect Gerrard, who'll look up to him. Because you always had an inkling that he didn't have quite the same level of respect for Smith.
I mean, the reason why I say Ramsey, it's a similar career curve to Gerrard in terms of being, you know, the young homeboy, so to speak. So that's in terms of finding out if he's the real deal. And if he is, then having a manager who's actually walked that path will be a huge help to him.
Yes.
And with a game, first game up, when you've got Sanson and Luiz out, who would be potentially, if he had those two deep sitters, would be potentially taking both of those spots. If they were fully fit and at it, then there's an opportunity there for the likes of Ramsey. I think it's good to see Trezeguet back in the training footage, and as Gerrard said, he's getting him involved as often as possible in the training going forward. And if he needs somebody with that drive, then Trezeguet might find himself getting above the likes of Traoré in terms of the pickings, match day squad pickings.
Yeah, because for all his inconsistencies, he's a hard working player, and there's a lot to be said for that. And I'm sure someone like Steven Gerrard will say, well, I respect your work rate, we just need that little bit more end product. But as we've said for years on the pod, when you need a big goal, Trezeguet often pops up with it.
Yeah, when you're struggling, you need hard workers in, because it's not easy. You need a bit of blue-collar graft to get up and running. So he might favour that, especially in the early, the first few months and, across this tough December period that's about to rear its head as well.
Yeah, and also ultimately in those positions, we're going to have four guys who all want to play on the wing, and it might not even be if one can get in the starting lineup, you might end up having three of them on the bench most weeks.
In terms of Brighton, hasn't been an easy fixture in recent times.
No. I mean, obviously, both games last year, we lost the game at Villa Park, didn't we? And we should have lost the game at their place. The season before, we actually did a lot better against them, but we took a stoppage time goal to beat them at our place.
Villa's record against Brighton at Villa Park is reasonably decent. The last, that defeat last season was, the first defeat in the last 13 games at Villa Park. It would be good if that didn't become a regular occurrence, like, the likes of our recent record against Southampton, for example, in the Premier League.
Yeah.
You have to stamp down on this. But, under Potter, organised team. I used to live there in Brighton. It's a few years now. I've had a couple of spells there. And even back then, the last time I was there, I think they were in the Championship then, they were known for... And I'd been to see him a few times. Their approach play was great, but they just never had that marksman up front. And this seems to be the same thing that's been labelled at them at the moment. Even though they've got the likes of Malpai, they just haven't got the 20 goal man, and they create a lot of chances.
Yeah, they started the season well, didn't they? And then they've kind of not tailed off as such, but they've been drawing a lot of games. They're like the draw specialist in the league, because they can't get over the line against teams.
Defensively, they're very well organised. If Smith, for example, was in charge, you would not want Brighton going 1-0 up at Villa Park, because then you're looking at the fixtures and you're thinking, I think we joked about this.
Ten games.
We didn't joke. It wasn't a joke, but suddenly I did actually say, if we go 1-0 down against Brighton, then suddenly you're thinking, well, if we lose that, we're away against Palace. Palace don't get beat very often, and then you're coming up against Manchester City's, Liverpool's, and that 10 game, you're getting to the stage where the players will lose belief, and you're in a world of pain and when it comes to relegation battle. So I think Villa will benefit from that added application from players, just with Gerrard coming into town, and I think that bounce probably important in these next two games for sure.
Yeah, huge. And just going into the Christmas run, you really need to start stop the rot from the five games and just get a little bit of confidence back into the side, because they'll have that, as you said, that bit of new manager bounce, and they'll be conscious of wanting to start well against Brighton. But you only need to make a couple of mistakes in the first 5 or 10 minutes, and you're kind of like back to square one in terms of your confidence. And I just hope the fans sort of stick with the team a little bit for this one. Because it could be one of those games that's kind of like a gritty one and you've got to grind a win out in this one. It won't be a free-flowing game of football, I don't think.
No, I mean, you mentioned their draws. They've drawn five of the last six. And the only one that wasn't a draw was when Manchester City beat them 4-1, which, can happen to anybody. But they'll be, they've only lost twice this season, Manchester City result being one of them, so this is not an easy tie.
And our first half record is not too clever.
No, and to be 7 points behind Brighton after only 11 games is not too clever either.
No, agreed.
But I think we are literally, if one of those bottom three win another game, then we are now seriously looking over our shoulders. So I think points are important there. So, even if it's a draw, just to break that sequence would be a step in the right direction. But I'm sure Gerrard will be looking for the win. I mean, we can't forget that we went into this season pretty bullish, considering we'd just bought in circa 30 million pound players. So we can't lose track of that. This is not a crap squad that we've assembled, and that would be part of Gerrard's reasoning for taking the job. He would have seen what's in that squad. He would have definitely seen the mitigating circumstances that Smith hasn't really been allowed to play his strongest team. Also the fact that, four of our six away games have been against the top six big teams. And you're thinking, well, if that squad's fit, I kind of fancy that. That's probably, and, I've got a transfer window as well to come. So
that'll be one of the things he's looking at, isn't it? It's more sort of medium term, as he'll be just evaluating everything that he's got over the next few weeks and then sort of going up to the board and saying, well, this is what I need. Be it, I need one or two or whatever.
Yeah, but this isn't a squad where it's like a new manager comes in and goes, we need a rebuild here.
Yeah, he's not going to do a Ron Atkinson, is he? Where he sells everyone and buys a new squad.
No, because this was very much purchases for the next level of Villa, to add more depth, to make them, not dependent on just one player or one or two players. This was a real next stage in terms of squad depth. So it's more about adding, and I don't think we're talking numbers coming in January for sure. Maybe more to do with effort and application, I think. In the midfield, I think, will be resolved in January, if need be. I mean, you probably see Sanson going out on loan if he's not the man that he was meant to be.
I think you might find a couple as well, actually. I think you might find a couple more of the kids, someone like a Chukwuemeka. If it's not looking like he's going to feature, they'll probably try and get him a little bit of game time and get him a half-decent loan move.
Yeah. Anyway, key stat going into this game.
Villa have conceded 13 in their last five games. Stephen Gerrard's Rangers conceded 13 goals in 38 league fixtures last season. So make of that what you will.
Stephen Gerrard's Rangers never played any teams with strikers, though, didn't they?
No. And let's be frank, Celtic last season were about as bad as they've been in as long as you can remember.
The Villa defence was probably the strongest facet of our team over the last, since we've been in the Premier League, since Project Restart onwards. Yeah. So that is a bit of a concern, because clean sheets were becoming frequent. So be good to see a couple of them in the next couple of months for sure.
Yeah, that'd be a big one to get against Brighton.
Right. If we had to poach one player from this weekend's opposition, who would we poach and why?
It's a kind of a strange one, isn't it, with Brighton? Because individually, not too many jump off the page.
Some of the parts. Get into the team, would they?
No. I mean, I quite like Tarik Lamptey, the young lad at fullback. He's rapid. But I quite like Matty Cash. Would I have him over him? I don't know. Bissouma in the middle of the park, who's big and strong, possibly is more what we would need right now. Some people would argue Maupai. You'd probably take Maupai's little bit of shithouse about him and put that in our team. But in terms of one individual,
Would Maupai get into a team over Ings? No, he wouldn't.
Nope. No, he wouldn't. We wouldn't play him over Watkins either.
What about Lallana, an older head?
On the bench, would he start? Probably not.
Yeah, I would. You'd probably have him as a bench option, but
Lewis Dunk at the back, but possibly would be another good sort of squad option, but I wouldn't have him over Mings or Konsa.
But I think a lot of credit goes to Potter. Maybe we should have taken Potter.
Yeah, we'll have the manager instead.
We'll go with your Lamptey vote on that one. But would he be an improvement over Cash?
I think he's just more of a different option. You could probably turn him into a winger because he's lightning.
All right, anyway, let's get out of here. We'll get back into the swing of things after this Brighton game when we get our first glimpse of what a Steven Gerrard Aston Villa team looks like. Still very bizarre to see Gerrard at Villa. The pictures look like Photoshop. The videos of him seem to be deep fakes, but I'm sure we'll all get used to it. And just the character of the man is probably the most exciting thing about him taking over at Villa. I mean, it's early days in his career in terms of whether he'll be any good or not. But at this moment in time, I wouldn't back against him.
No, I don't think I would.
On that note, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Aston Villa 0, Brighton 5.
At half time.
Crystal Palace 4, Aston Villa 0. Liverpool 6, Aston Villa 0. Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 5. See you later, Gerard.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.